Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
My name is Ott, and this is On Air.
Good thing we're pre-recording.
My name is Ott, and this is Dead Air.
Yo!
Hi, guys.
Where did he go?
Well, nice. That's what happens when I do the show. Basically, I'll come on camera, and then I go off camera.
Nice. That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Very nice. So, hi, welcome back to Dead Air, everybody.
Welcome to the season 3 premiere of Dead Air.
We've been away for a while, so we figured, you know, first episode of the season, let's do something a little bit special.
Woo! Very special. Yeah.
So, you know us. If you don't, this handsome gentleman over here.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Wayne. We're the co-creators of Ghost Maps. And clearly, we're also the host of Dead Air. Even though we didn't do the intro this time.
Yep.
We had somebody else do the intro.
Thank you. It's an honor. I can do it many, many times. Hello, I'm Ott. This is Kyle. This is Wayne. Welcome to Dead Air.
Awesome. Ooh, I like that.
Yeah,
changed it up.
I like that one.
I changed it up.
I like how intense that one was. Yeah. Really getting across the scares for that one. Yes, so this is, just in case you missed, the first two introductions. Most of you who are watching this should know who Art is. If you don't worry. We will have a proper introduction. Art is an actor, presenter, and creator. He was one of the longest running VJs on MTV Asia, hosting shows like MTV Asia Hitlist, MTV Most Wanted, and Bangkok Jam from the late 90s to the early 2000s. He starred in numerous Singaporean and Thai productions such as After Hours, Calafare, and Fathers. In 2004, Art became one of the most recognizable faces of Southeast Asian horror, as the host of the long-running Singaporean anthology series, Incredible Tales.
Incredible Tales.
Incredible
Tales.
Very
incredible indeed.
How are you doing this evening, man?
I'm doing very good. I feel very comfortable in the space. I feel it's safe.
Really?
That's good. Okay. Yeah, that's your place is safe.
Awesome.
This place we're in is...
Thank you.
I'm feeling good. I'm really, it's really exciting to have a conversation with the both of you.
Thanks,
and it's good to be back in Singapore.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
When was the last time you were here?
I was here like a month back. So it hasn't been that long. But given the month back that I was here, I was away for years, like pre-COVID.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So Singapore always has a special place in my heart because it was basically a second home for me for over a decade, having lived here. And also all the stories, all the incredible amount of stories that I would get from everyone. And to the point that sometimes I would get lost in the process because sometimes I'll take like a random cab home and then I'll have uncle, sharing his stories going like, my wife came to see me last night. I'm like, oh, that's nice. Like, quite sweet. You know, auntie came to see, like, uncle. And he goes, she died 5 years ago.
Man.
And I'm like, oh. And then it's like, why is uncle telling me this? And then I realized that, through Incredible Tales,
right,
you start to connect to people.
Yeah.
And people all have stories. Either they have stories from other people or they have their own personal stories.
Yeah. See, I was going to ask, did he know you from Incredible Tales or is he just randomly telling
you? No, he knew me from Incredible Tales. He went much deeper than that. But he opened up the conversation by saying, my wife came to see me. So I'm like, oh, okay, quite sweet. And then, she left me 5 years ago. And I'm like, oh, and then he went into the whole story and it was like really sweet.
Mm.
It was really sweet as to like, the time they were together and then like she passed away and then, she came to visit him. Wow, so awesome. I started to realize how strong conversations in regards to the paranormal or the supernatural or spirits or like, you know, that world is for people, how it brings people together.
Yeah, I think especially in Southeast Asia, doesn't it? It's almost like something that people can bond over, almost like a shared kind of part of our culture.
Well, I think like we had this conversation, Kyle, how like over here in Asia, basically it's a bit different in terms of like, you know, the stories that are told or our experiences in Asia, because I feel we have so many different types of religions and cultures that's embedded in the experiences of people having these experiences of like seeing spirits or having stories. It's very different from the Western world.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But speaking of bonding, this episode would not have happened without our very super loyal listener, Heather. Just have to shout out there, Heather.
Heather!
Right?
Hey, Heather,
thank you for making this happening. Right? And also, I have to do my signature.
Oh, God.
Tiger, please sponsor us, Tiger.
I just have water today, so that's...
He has coffee, so...
Yeah, we're set.
We're set.
We're good. No, it's nice to hear you talk about this kind of stuff, man, because like people watch you on Incredible Tales and, you know, they'll assume, oh, he's the host, so it's a gig. But clearly, like, you care about these kind of things. These things mean something to you as well.
Yeah, well, I think it's an extension of having been with MTV and just my personality, the core of my personality. I just like to connect with people. I think the reason why I've been able to have this career and be on different platforms is being able to, at the end of the day, is just to be able to have that interaction.
Yeah.
And I think Incredible Tales with the amount of seasons that we've done, it's just an extension of being able to connect to people and their stories at another level.
Yeah.
There's a whole new other level. There's an emotional level to it.
Yeah.
I know like we can like tell stories and, you know, especially when like, you know, when you're younger or like even when you're older, you come together, you tell friends and you just want to freak friends out.
Yeah.
But I think the emotional part of it is like when people have lost and then they have personal experiences of it. And I feel those are endearing stories.
Yeah. I remember like one of my most favorite episode of Incredible Tales is the first season, The Bus Driver. Wow. When I watched it for the first time, I almost teared. It's really heartwarming. It's basically a simple story about like a bus driver having a wife and the wife passed on and he continues to drive the night bus because it's the bus that ferries the dead.
Yeah.
Which is like so sweet. And then she's like sitting beside him.
Oh my God. I remember that one. Yeah.
And you know what? After entering the film industry, I met the director and he's now kind of a friend. And I told him like, your story is like...
Because that story stood out for you as an audience.
Yes, it's emotional. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but I mean, we'll get back to this in a little bit. Just, we wanted to like, just lay a bit of the groundwork. So like, for the longest time, you were in MTV. So how and when did that transition take place from MTV into Incredible Tales?
The interesting thing about Incredible Tales, it was pretty much parallel because at the time, I would be in and out of Singapore modeling. And I did go into MediaCorp for like castings and everything.
Yeah.
And at the same time, my hosting for MTV was a different like route.
Right.
So Daisy Irani was with MediaCorp at the time. And she was doing a search for a host for Incredible Tales.
Yes.
And it's funny because like I look back and I remember how my accent was really, I had a really strong accent back then. Mm-hmm. And I remember the feedback was like, I don't, you know, we don't know if this guy is fit to do Incredible Tales for the local market because it's like, he sounds like an Ang Mo. And then Daisy's like, I don't know, I like him. I want him. There's something about him. And for myself, I never thought that we would be doing a show that would last so many different seasons.
Yeah.
Because like for me, it's like me taking the music route. Basically, that was a huge passion of mine. So I just thought, okay, well, this is kind of interesting and something different. Let's try it out. And I remember like the first season, when it took off and MediaCorp approved, the bosses approved, I did struggle with pronouncing a lot of local names, terminology, streets, and everything.
Yeah.
Very different after, you know, the seasons passed. But that was like things I struggled with in the beginning. And I look back and I'm just in awe of how like Daisy had vision of the show because she knew that the show would take off and how it would connect to people and how she stuck to her gut and then kept me on board.
Yeah. We were just talking about it before we started rolling, before you arrived. We were just saying, like, we were trying to figure out how many seasons were there? Like, off the top of our head, we couldn't remember. We're like, it feels like, you know, like it either has been, it feels like there's too few or there's been like more than we thought, but always in a good way.
And it's funny because I can remember the seasons by like my haircut, because it's like different seasons. Like, you know, I would during the F4 period, my hair, like, I had really bushy, lots of hair, and then it's like, it's interesting when I look back at the different seasons.
Just wanted to ask, like, did you have an interest in the supernatural before this, or?
Well, we had like a long discussion off camera. For the longest time that I was hosting Incredible Tales, I had to be sort of like, you know, neutral about my stand, about my belief, my real belief, because of course it's like, we couldn't, being the host and sort of like, you know, the person who's fronting the series, the producers and the people behind it didn't want me to allude whether it's true or not.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's for like the audience to kind of come up with their own opinions, whether, you know, it's a figment of like an imagination or if it's something that it's true.
Yeah.
But now that it's been many seasons and now that, like, you know, I can share my personal, my personal experiences on it. It's like, for me, I've always had like sort of like a third eye, like a special sense ever since I was young.
Yeah.
So for me, these stories had like a different meaning to me, because I do believe that these stories do have truths in them.
Yeah.
So it's like during the time that I was doing, you know, the press for it, I didn't really open up about my true experiences, which I am now. Nice. Yes. On dead air.
Yeah. I actually did want to ask you that. So when did you realize that you had third eye?
I don't think it's one of those things where like you wake up and you realize you have it, because I think it's always been sort of part of like, it was part of life, you know. Yeah. Like I would have either experiences like with dreams, or like when I would go to places, I would kind of feel uneasy. It was just kind of, it just was a part of me.
Right.
But I think it just kind of grew stronger as I grew older.
Did you realize, like, did you think to yourself like, oh, well, you know, other people probably have this. It's not just.
No, I think I wasn't, I didn't really have a realization of it until like I was much older. Like, you know, I didn't really I didn't really focus on whether or not other people were having the same experiences.
Right.
I was more or less, oh, I have this experience. This is kind of strange. Mm. Yeah.
Right. Interesting.
So would you say, is it a thing that your family members have, or is it just you?
It's interesting. I never really had like a conversation with my family, but my dad has it. My dad would kind of say things here and there, but we never really, like, you know, connected about having the sense or being able to have like a third eye or having a third eye until much older. It's like, I kind of picked up on, I think it's kind of one of those things, like, it's always been there. My dad always had it, but I just had the realization that my dad has the same experience of me as I got older. Mm. My mom doesn't have it at all. It's like, I'm like, there's, you know, I'm a prankster too, like by heart. That's like ever since I was little. So it's like, you know, around the house and stuff, we've always had like, you know, stuff that will freak people out. You know, I always collected like really deranged stuff, you know, like dolls and like
the
creepy dolls, anything like, you know, on Friday 13th, like, you know, dolls or like Freddy Krueger, like it's weird. There's like, the irony of it is like, on one side of it, I have this experience and it freaks the hell out of me. On the other side of it, I'm collecting all this, you know, all this stuff. I'm gonna say all this shit, but all this stuff. And it's funny, because like when friends would come, or like random people coming over, they would be like, what what are you like, are you deranged, like, you know, why do you collect all this stuff? And it got like kind of like, when I got older, I would make paper mache, like, you know, dummies that look like real people, put it in the bathroom and stuff. And it would just freak people out. I shared with Kyle how my mom doesn't bat an eye, because it's like I can have something freaky and then my mom will walk in and she goes, say, oh, and then she walks out. Yeah. My dad's like, oh, I could hear him like screaming. He'll be like, a lie, you know, which means like, what? What's in here?
Oh boy. Yeah. It must have been so fun sharing a home with you.
Yeah. I'm a lot more calm now. Okay. So yeah.
I mean, like, so like you said, like you've got this side of you that you know, has the third eye, and at the same time you're collecting, you know, Friday the 13th dolls and making paper mache figures and putting them in the toilet and freaking people out.
Yeah.
Like, do you think one side of it like kind of influenced the other? Do you think?
No, I think it's totally different sides. I think I'm connecting it now as I'm talking to the both of you that like, yeah. Oh, that's kind of, it's kind of strange.
Yeah.
But now I look at it. Yeah. It's, I guess like I compartmentalize the side where, okay, I have these experiences. This is like, I'm in tune with a whole different level of supernatural, paranormal experiences that other people don't have. Yeah. I think as I grew up, I realized not everyone has that experience. And then on the other side, the prankster and just, you know, happy-go-lucky, having fun and just like, you know, that side is like, I just realized, oh wow, I've always been drawn to like, you know, strange things.
Oh wow.
There's always a pattern.
Yeah.
Like people who are into horror, there's always a pattern. Like for me is in film school, I always meet like really macabre stuff. Like not really horror, like things about true crime and all. But people will see it until you see it yourself. Like, I don't know, Wayne, what about you?
Like I've told the story several times on this and like I think my interest in horror, it kind of came about more because of Kyle, but I think it's also got that foundation of when I was like six, my brother made me watch The Exorcist and he didn't tell me it was a horror movie.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was only about halfway through that I realized, because he told me it was like The Terminator. So I just thought, oh, cool, robots. It was about halfway through and I realized there are no robots in this. So I think, yeah, I think there's that underlying level of the macabre that kind of informs anybody who's like really associated with this.
I think I get along with your brother.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, no, definitely.
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 I've done a lot of that to friends where it's like, we're going to go watch a romantic comedy.
Oh, okay. The worst part is I'm quite sure that's not the worst prank he's pulled on me. So I think you and him will probably have a nice competition to see who could get away with worse. But yeah. No, it's interesting to hear that like, you know, these two separate paths and yet you end up being one of the things you're most known for is
Tales. Well, I think it's so interesting because it's like it took our conversation to realize how everything's all connected. And I told Kyle like during my time hosting Incredible Tales, even though we would be on so many different locations, so many authentic locations in Singapore where, you know, there has been history in those places, but I've never really had any type of experience other than knowing whether it felt uneasy or not.
Yeah.
Whereas in my personal everyday life, I, you know, going to places, staying in hotels, going to somewhere foreign, I would have these intense experiences, but I never really had that on Incredible Tales. I've only had it once, which I shared, which at one point in time my brother was with me. He had he came back from the States, came to visit me, and he just came off of because he was in the US Army.
Right.
He was second lieutenant off the war in Afghanistan.
Oh wow.
And then we were on, but the experience didn't happen on location. He was with me for that duration of me shooting Incredible Tales. And then so we stayed in the in the same hotel because I think at the time I had gone back to Thailand.
Right.
So I was being flown back to shoot the hosting links and just to finish off that season of the show. So one of the nights that we came back on from set when we were sleeping, for some, it was really strange because we both, I was really tired because like usually when we shoot every single day and it's like in the morning till night, different locations, 3-4 locations a day. And then by the time we, you know, by the time, by the end of the day, I'm like, you know, I'm just maxed out. And in the middle of the night, I think what had happened was, I started to get possessed. And usually when it happens, I feel like a heaviness upon me. And then, but with this one, it was quite different because I think I felt transported because I was no longer in my own, like in my own body, like something kind of took over. And then I think I was mumbling and speaking in tongues. And the next thing I knew, I was like, I was sleeping and then it's like, I got up and I was sitting and I remember staring at my brother. But it was, I wasn't myself. I look back and I remember exactly what was happening, but when it was happening, I didn't know. So it was like, I saw him like up against the wall, just calling out my name, like over and over and over. And then it's funny because I mentioned how he just came off from the army, the war. So you, like, he's like twice the size as me, you know, you have this like huge guy, but he's up against the wall and he has a phone like this. You know, like, stay away from me, stay away from me. It's like, and he's, you know, I think he's trying to snap me out of it.
Right.
And he just kept on calling my name, my name, my name. But I remember in the moment, I just wanted to like, just wanted to go strangle him, you know?
Wow.
And then I, it took me some time and I snapped out of it. It took him to call my name over and over and over and I snapped out of it. And then he's just like, he goes, "You're freaking me out. You know, what just happened? You're freaking me out." And I think I realized why he had the phone because he actually recorded it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I looked at it and I was freaked out, but I was so tired. You have to understand, it's like I was physically tired because of the shoot. And I was physically tired because when every time I have these experiences, it takes so much energy out of you.
Yeah.
So I was, I think I just had, I felt like I had everything knocked out of me and I couldn't process what was happening and I just wanted to sleep. That's the only thing I wanted to do. So as much as I was freaked out, but I think he was more freaked out and I just wanted to go back to sleep. So I went back to sleep. He couldn't sleep, obviously. And then I went back into another, I went back into another possession.
Wow.
Yeah. It was really strange. And it turns out that the next day we had a shoot at a Thai temple in Singapore, which is very ironic. And what was strange about that experience was the monk, as I was doing my links and everything, and my brother wouldn't come into the temple at all. He didn't want to come into the temple. And I remember the monk specifically saying that there's a spirit that is revolving around you. Tell your brother to come into the temple. I was like, whoa. It was like, it was
you, specifically you.
I was in and out.
He was pointing to you. The spirit was on you.
He said, "There, you have a spirit lingering around you.
You,
tell your," he goes, "tell your family member he needs to come in to see me."
Oh.
And like, prior to that, my brother would always stay away from like, you know, any religious, you know, places. And then for some reason, I didn't have a chance to go talk to him because, you know, I was just like, you know, shooting around. The next thing I knew during our break, he's in the temple talking to the monk.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. So, and it turns out that the spirit was because I guess what the monk was saying is that it was my brother who's attracting the spirits because he's sort of like in not in a good place.
Right.
And he's attracting the wrong energies. And these energies are coming, are attached, you know, somehow like, you know, attaching through me as in like sort of some form of medium. So that's the only experience I've had in the whole entire shooting process of Incredible Tales. And it wasn't even in regards to Incredible Tales or any of the reenactments or the stories we were telling. This so happened to be our own personal experiences. And I think what happened there was, like, because, you know, my brother, he suffers from PTSD because of the war, of things that he experienced.
Yeah.
So obviously, when you go through so much, you see so many, you see and experience deaths, and deaths that come in all different types of forms, you're going to attract energies.
Yep.
So, I mean, because of that, I kind of understood. And I think because of my sixth sense and my experiences ever since I was young, it's easy for spirits or energies to connect to me. And then, so what I understood after seeing the monk, and he did like a little cleansing for us.
Yeah.
And he told my brother that my brother need to do some sort of ritual for the spirit. I have to do it as well because, you know, it's a restless spirit, not a very restless spirit. So, like, you know, that was an experience that we've had that to this day, my brother will not sleep with me. He will not sleep in the same room.
For obvious
me.
Reasons, right?
Fair enough.
You tried to strangle him the last time. He's
never sleep. Did you see what? Because you said your brother was pointing your phone at you. Did you see
the? Yeah, I saw it. It was like pretty freaky, and to this day, I don't know where the footage is.
Well, I mean, it's probably for the best.
Yeah,
the best.
It was like it was interesting. It's like the irony of seeing that footage in the midst of shooting Incredible Tales.
Yeah.
It's just like. This is a true Incredible Tales as it's happening. You know, I have a story right here.
Yeah.
But I did tell the producer, like, you know, because the producers were with us, they were so, you know, I shared with the producers and they were pretty freaked out as well. So
where did it happen? In Singapore?
Yeah, that's in Singapore.
So you guys were not staying in your place, right? Were you staying at your place or was it like a hotel?
It was a hotel. I'm asking my friend off camera, were you part of that? Did you remember that? No, right? Does it sound familiar? Not this one? Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I have so many stories.
So like after that happened, you still went on to finish the shoot, right?
Yeah. For me, it's like there's all these compartmentalization. Mm. So it's kind of like I'm affected by it. But then I in terms of work and in terms of, like, you know, we still need to move on with that. And then being able to compartmentalize that. Okay, this is like separate. It's taking a lot of energy out of me. And, you know, and then this itself, like, we're continuing to tell stories. So this has never been shared.
Which season?
Oh, my
God. Which three seasons?
Let me go remember my haircut. that's how I remember seasons. I need to get back to you on that one. Yeah.
You do realize that now everybody's going to be watching, like, they're going back and they're going
to
rewatch all the episodes.
Well, you know, it's easy to find this season because we just need to find the story that has a Thai temple. Yeah.
I vaguely recall. Recall a Thai temple episode. Like, so yeah.
Everybody's just going to be like, is this the episode? I bet this is the episode.
No, the year. If you can remember the year, then I can tell which season.
I don't remember the year.
Okay.
I have to say that.
Not off the bat right now.
Yeah.
That is next level professionalism right there. Just after going through that the night before and then going to work and then got to compartmentalize and
Now that you bring that up, yes.
But do the producers actually, like, you know, like on film sets, I'm not sure for Thai film sets, but for Singapore film sets, when we do horror, we actually do pray.
Yeah, we the crew, because we're a mecca of all different cultures and nationalities and religions. It's always been really interesting doing Incredible Tales because, like, when we go to these places that we want to pay respect, everyone is paying respect in their own religion. And I think that's the one thing that I've always been very drawn and I felt so connected to Singapore in the sense of how we're like, it's really a melting pot. Like, you know, on one road, one stretch, you have You can have a mosque, you can have like a church, you can have like a temple. Yep. And I think that was an example of just having a crew. Mm. You know, there was no separation or, you know, divide.
Yeah.
You know, we're there, we're all working, and then we're paying respects in our own form and ways.
Yeah.
And then we go to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
this should be an example for this generation.
Yes.
I love how there's a lesson to all that as that, well. Very nicely done.
Supernatural has a lot of lessons.
That's true.
Speaking of Supernatural, and now that we are on Incredible Tales, right, we have some questions from your tons of fans. They send us a lot. So I'm going to choose one from Firehorse77. Nice name. Which is your favorite Incredible Tales episode? You can only choose one.
Oh.
Nice question.
Start breaking it down by haircut first and then by episode.
Oh, gosh. My favorite one. I think the one that stands out. Okay, I'll go back to the mic. I need a second on this. Okay, I'm back.
I love the effect as well. The
I don't remember the name of the story, but it's the story of how it's a story that was at an HDB flat, how previously a young boy had jumped over not the balcony, but it's kind of like the sort of like the portion of the HDB flats where the common area.
Mm. Right. Yeah.
And then and was possessed, or like, I don't think they were able to come up with the real reason why. Mm-hmm. But then I think years later a new family moved into the same flat, and then their child did the same thing.
Jump.
Yeah.
Oh, I know that episode.
Yeah. I think it's not a favorite episode. It's an episode where out of all the stories we told, I felt connected in being emotional about that particular story. Because the thing is, we were on location,
right?
And I think we were probably at the actual vicinity of where it happened. Oh. So I kind of felt things. You know, I kind of felt things. I felt emotional. I think I felt emotional for the family who have lost, and then felt for the children who actually passed away. Yeah. So I would say I wouldn't use the word favorite, but it's a definitely a standout, you know, reenactment or story that we told that sticks out to this day.
Yeah.
Is it that episode where the mom wore red and then picked the kid? Made the kid wear it, and then they both jumped. And then the next family that came in, and then he said that Coco wants me to be Superman, and then he jumps.
Yeah, it's that one.
Okay. To be fair, that flat is not very far from where we are.
Yes, it's not. You know,
let's not review the location, but it's not very far.
When you asked me, it's funny because everyone's like,
and everything comes back, right?
It comes back, and that came to mind. I'm like, I don't think that's too far from here.
Yeah. I've been to the block.
Yeah.
I've been to the actual unit outside of the unit.
Yeah.
I remember going to the outside of the unit, and it has a plate. I think it's a Christian household. It has some quote from the Bible. The house of this, the owner of this house or something is something quite, it sounds quite cryptic. Like, it's like clearly they are trying to block off something, because apparently to this day the urban legends are that on the specific day when they jumped, you can still hear their wails.
Yeah.
Wow. That's the
I have goosebumps right now, because it's like, you know, we've told so many stories in the different seasons that we've been able to connect with people, and that one you know definitely stands out for me
because it's real.
I think not just that, but like what you were saying, the emotion as well. I think a lot of people think of horror and they immediately think, ooh, scares. But that emotional connection really does, like, it adds that layer to it.
It does, because it's like so many different levels of emotions that you're dealing with. You're dealing with, like, you know, anytime when children are involved and, you know, they go before their time, it's emotional. And then you think of how emotional it is for the people who have lost, who are still alive.
Yeah.
And then you think of the whole level of the supernatural, paranormal levels of that,
yeah,
for that to happen. Like, how strong the energies have to be for that to occur again. God. Or how strong the energies have to be for a mother and child to do that.
Yeah.
You know, there's just so many layers of emotions over emotions. Yeah.
It's quite messed up, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like that's actually leads into our next question, right? Which is like, you mentioned that you went on actual or like near to the whatever happened, right? So do you actually like get scared? Because you know that this is probably the haunted location.
Yeah, of course. I think when we are in places that's very uneasy, of course you're gonna feel uneasy being in those areas. But for me, it's like, for me being uneasy, I probably have a much thicker skin than maybe an average person who doesn't have that experience, because I realize even as scared as I am, but like a person who isn't as, you know, whatchamacallit,
experience
might experience. Be even more scared. Yeah.
Yeah. But most of the time, I mean, you've started seeing things, right? When
right.
you were younger. Like, don't you get like desensitized to it? Like, disassociate? Whatever.
No, I don't think you can ever really get desensitized to it. I get more used to it. Yeah. I can handle it better. I don't have the experiences as much anymore because I think I'm more well equipped to know how to handle the experiences now than I used to be. And I think it comes from a lot of experience, a lot of like, you know, getting a lot of different types of mentors, spiritual mentors to kind of guide you how to be able to manage, you know, spirits and entities and whatnot in the right way.
I actually want to pick up on that as well. Like, you were, I don't know what the proper term is, ordained, or you as
yes,
a monk.
Yeah. I did ordain as a monk back in Thailand.
Yeah. Did that, like, I'm sure that must have not helped, but certainly added some layer to it. And
I'm smiling because I'm going to say no.
Oh, wow. Okay.
not at the time when I ordained at that time. Maybe if I ordained now, it would be different. I'd be probably more well-equipped. But when I ordained that time, it was pretty heavy because leading to my ordainment, I've probably had the most amount of experiences I've had in my life.
Wow.
It was like right, left, left, right. I felt I was in a boxing match. It was really intense. To the point when I ordained, when you ordain, you have like the senior teacher monk who looks after you, and I would ask questions. I'm like, you know, I shared all these experiences with him, and I don't know why this is happening, and he goes, it's because they, you know, these spirits, energies, they sense where you're going,
right,
and they're attaching onto you because they want you to. When you're on a level, a religious level, in the place to be able to bless and, you know, help them reach go into another place of peace or calm or maybe they're you're attracting them.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of put it in a sense where it's like, what I'm going through is normal. But like for me at the time, it wasn't normal.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, did I find the peace and the calm I needed to handle it at the time? Not exactly. I mean, you know, but it was a process that I needed to understand and kind of like, you know, go through. Now I would be well equipped.
Do you think you took anything from that time and after you were ordained? Do you think you took anything that's helped since then?
Definitely. I think like ordaining, and it's like in any type of religion, any type of pilgrimage or any type of sense of where you find a sense of calm, a sense of peace, a sense of just being able to get yourself in a place where all the things around that you see distracts you or things that, to be honest, at the end of the day, there's really no meaning to like the drama that we see around us or the divisions that we see in any type of religion that can put you in that place of peace and calm. Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, I think puts you in a different place. So to answer your question, I felt I was put in the place of another level of calmness and peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Sounds Nice.
That's but beautiful.
I have one like random question. Because I read somewhere online, when you ordain and your final training as a monk is to actually spend a night in the cemetery. Is it true?
I think it depends on the level of that journey that you want to take. So to answer your question, yes, it's true for people who want to take that journey in their ordainment. It's part of the enlightenment process because you need to be able to see everything as a consistent. Everything's just like whether you see bodies, you see bodies that are alive, bodies that have, you know, that are no longer alive. You need being able to see everything at this one consistency puts you in a place where you understand life. If you understand it, if you see it that way. So it is true that it is a journey for people who do go into ordainment. I didn't take it to that level.
Oh, that's deep. Yeah. That would be scary though.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, I think it's like there's a lot of stories. I've heard stories from friends who like taken that route where it's like, you know, they've had to stay in the cemetery, stay in close quarters of the cemetery just to be able to put themselves in a situation to overcome fears or overcome situations that like in any everyday situation a person wouldn't like would want to be put in that situation.
Yeah.
It really tests your your mental capacity.
Yes. Oh,
sorry, I'm off.
It's okay.
Yeah. No, it's fine. It's just I can understand the
Yeah.
Do you want to do some more fan questions or
This question is really good. So AJ Low is asking what type of scary Southeast Asian stories to be made or already made that you would like to either read, watch, listen, or play in. Like play as in like appear as an actor or a host in.
Oh, wow. That's a really good question. There's several stories that I've read that I feel are really interesting, but I can't share it because like basically they haven't been made yet. Mm. But so I have to share something that I can share that I would want to. Okay, to compartmentalize, like take away from like anything that's personal and something that's more like entertaining. I've always wanted to play some like a character that's a bit, you know, deranged, psychotic, maybe like something to the extent of like Dexter or Hannibal.
I knew you were gonna say Dexter.
I think where I'm coming from with that is just like I just find it completely challenging. And then I think what would be I've always been one about like, you know, how you see people on the surface, but they're people aren't always how they are on the surface. So like the fact that people see this image of like this nice guy, this like, you know, like he can be your brother, your next door neighbor, your boyfriend, you know, like someone like the everyday average Joe, but then there's so much going on, you know, it's so many layers and like this he's just like all messed up. So I'm like, that would be really interesting to play. In terms of something that's more paranormal, is there any stories that I would want to be told or want it to be kind of on a screen? I'm trying to think of any like ghost stories.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I can't share it too.
It's fine.
Yeah,
you can tell us after.
I'll tell you guys after.
Clearly, but maybe something for the fans.
Something for the fans. Mm. Well, I want to play something psychotic, but I think that's so like against of what I'd go through personally. And then any ghost stories? I don't know. I think so many ghost stories have been told, but I think there's a lot of like a lot of the Thai stories are really, really interesting. I know I have like a lot of personal, I think what I would want to do is probably do my own reenactments of my own incredible like tales, stories. That
producers,
would be really interesting.
If you're listening out there.
Like for example, like sort of what I shared about that incident with my brother. Mm. It's like I have many stories. Mm. So whether I bring that to the screen, playing myself on screen, which would be interesting. Mm-hmm. Maybe that would even look more real to life, or or direct it myself. That would be really cool.
Mm. Yeah, I could see Art doing it. Definitely.
That answers a question I was going to ask later on. Would you ever do like another season of Incredible Tales or a similar anthology series? And well, there you go.
There I go.
That's Incredible Tales.
Yep, that's Incredible Tales. The final season.
The final season.
That doesn't sound ominous at all.
Yeah. Okay, so next question.
From the fans?
Yeah, from the fans. They really have a lot of questions. You have a lot of fans. Oh my God. Oh, so this is pretty simple. JM is asking, when can you go to the Philippines again?
Oh,
you have legions of fans over there.
I definitely want to go to the Philippines like soon. I think it's just a matter of time because I just came back from a press junket in Mumbai. So I was there with like the journalists from the Philippines too. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I feel like things sort of connect from one to another. So never know. I should be in the Philippines soon. I miss the Philippines. I actually miss the whole entire region because of the fact of being here based in Singapore back in the day. And it was like, you know, the golden era of music television.
Yeah.
Being based here allowed me to be in and out of our neighboring countries like the Philippines, Vietnam, Malay, Indo all the time. Mm. So one of the things that I really miss about that time is being able to be in these different, you know, countries and cultures and environments.
Nice.
That kind of leads me to one of the fan questions that I want to ask from Nadia. She wants to know whether you experienced anything while you were at MTV. Was there any
stories
from there?
I have a lot of stories during MTV, but it's like MTV would be more of the experiences like similar to what I shared with like about my brother. It's like it's like in and around the time I was with MTV, because it's like you have like going back to the previous answer I gave you guys about how missing like, you know, traveling. But on the other side of traveling is traveling to very strange places, foreign places, untouched, unseen places, also brought me to having different types of experiences.
Right.
Also brought me to bringing people along with me to have those experiences. Mm. One of the things that's like notorious for me, it's quite interesting, is that if you're around me a lot, you know about these things that I experience.
Yeah.
So it's like you would hear a lot of stories. My friends hear a lot of stories, the producers, the team. And a lot of people around me who have never had experience, like, you know, they'll connect to hearing about it through me. Mm. But a lot of people who never had it, a lot of times end up having these experiences being with me.
Nice.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like to the point where it's like I've had like past producers who like, you know, they'll curse me, like, you know, God damn, like I never had a single experience since I was, you know, and now it's like, what? So...
Well, now I'm worried.
Yeah. No, but he already said this place. This studio is clean.
We're good. Unless we can, you know, go do a trip somewhere and yeah.
And then we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay. That random question. Like, you've traveled quite extensively, right? Which country in Southeast Asia have you encountered the most?
Well, that's very evident, like Thailand. Mm-hmm. You know, Thailand I've experienced probably the most. Mm. Probably because I spent much more time there and much more time in and around places in Thailand, whether it's like in the city itself or like outside the city. So I've experienced the most in Thailand.
Second
would be Singapore, like, I wouldn't...
Really, Singapore?
Singapore... Second, I think it's overall, it's kind of like spaced out. Mm. Yeah. I would say, okay, I can bundle it together, like a package. Mm. So I would say, like, the bundle package would be, like, you know, Southeast Asia. Mm. Yeah.
I like course. How Thailand's, like, clearly the leader by a mile.
Yep.
I mean, clearly. He spends a lot of time.
But yeah. I know, given that if I was, like, based in Indonesia or Malaysia or the Philippines, my experience would be equally the same as being in Thailand. Because there's something about Southeast Asia, I think, because how our cultures and everything in terms of our urban myths and legends and stories, it's like, it's very, there's a lot of intricacies.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different ceremonials and rituals.
Yeah.
That's part of the individual cultures.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because of those individual cultures, you have a lot of underlying black magic and, and things that it's at a whole new, it's like, it's at other levels.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. It's definitely way scarier than
than
our Western counterparts.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
They kind of make fun of it, actually. I remember going to Estonia, Eastern European country, and they have like this huge castle, and apparently there's a spirit that lingers after 9 p.m. specifically. That's 9 p.m. It's a headless horseman kind of spirit.
Right.
It's the usual thing, and then they made it into like a tourist thing.
Oh, okay.
They monetized it. So you have to pay to stay after dark, to see the headless horseman.
Yeah, you couldn't pay me to stay in some of the creepier spots in Southeast Asia.
I mean, if you take that context, right, and then you apply it to, I don't know, like Malaysia.
Yeah.
Like you want to see the yellow wash dragon, you have to pay like $5 to see the yellow wash dragon on the highway, Karak Highway.
Nope. Sorry. Right.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, no.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Do we want to, so many fan questions?
I think he answered like the most asked question, which is like any experience on Incredible Tales.
Oh yeah, that I jumped into it.
Oh yeah,
he jumped, into it.
I jumped straight into it.
Yeah. So, for me, right, I do have one question, which is like you mentioned that it's been a while now since you have like last experience.
Mm. Yeah. Well, now my experiences are more, it's more like kind of sensing the situation rather than having that that level of being taken over or like that possession. Mm. I don't have those experiences anymore. Mm. And I think it's how I'm more well equipped to handle it.
Yep. Right. Yeah, definitely. Like when was the last time you've actually seen something?
I think it's... I sense and I can see, but I don't fully see. Mm. Yeah, I choose to not fully see.
When was the last time that you?
I think it's like probably maybe I don't know, like maybe two years ago. Yeah, two 3 years ago.
So since then, you have learned like ways to protect yourself and all.
Yeah, I've learned
like over the course of 2 years.
No, I think the whole process, it's like it's always been the process, you know, because the thing is like, I think it's like it's an individual sort of experience. Mm-hmm. And like if you talk to someone else, they would who has the same sort of like third eye, they might have a different take on it than myself. But I can only share from my own personal take. Like for me, it's like I feel, you know, if you understand it, because I didn't really understand it before. I wasn't really equipped. I just understood, like, I just see things and I experience things. I must be, like, you know, a medium or whatnot. I have no idea. But I think when you understand it well, and then you're well equipped with you know, spiritual teachers or who guide you along the way, you realize that, well, at the end of the day, you have a right to safeguard yourself. It's like just like, you know, as simple as living in the physical world, you have a choice to let people come in or not. Some people will still try a way to break in, and that's something that's out of your control, and then you still have to protect yourself. So I think that's where I'm trying to share in terms of like the spiritual world. It's like you have the same limitations as well. So I think I'm more well equipped to have have those borders, and it's worked for me, but also acknowledge and be able to kind of sympathize and be able to in some ways maybe send light or send positive energy back to, because I think at the end of the day, it's like you're dealing with sort of like a different dimension and that has a lot of unresolved issues. So if you see it from a sympathetic point of view, whereas before it's like it was quite, you know, uneasy, I'm scared, why is this happening? And then when you see it from a point of view where it's like you have a lot of lingering energies because they can't move on, and then the way that they're still lingering because they might be put in that place because of where they were before, you know, how they ended up there, like how they passed away. It's like, it's kind of like the HDB flat that's nearby. It's it's unresolved.
I mean, even if it's resolved, right, from my own like understanding of certain religions, sometimes the soul, like the soul of the departed has already moved on, but there is a part of the soul that remains. That's why cemeteries, they will always be super duper packed with spirits. That's the people that have actually moved on. They have, you know, reincarnated. A part of the soul is still there. So there is still, in fact, that spirit. And that's what I've learned recently, actually.
I love how you described it as super duper packed to spirits. To make it sound like a party.
Yeah, it is. It is a party.
I mean, you talk about like mentors and people who've helped you along the way. How did you go about finding these people, or was there like a certain point where you thought to yourself, I need to go look for them?
I think they came like organically along the way. And then it's like also like, you know, I do a lot of reading and a lot of online reading, physical book reading, or even like, you know, it just maybe sometimes I'll end up in you know, a church or a monastery. It's like I'm kind of just kind of added all the all the different informations to kind of help me out, and then it's like, you know, and kind of pick and choose what works for me. I mean to go deeper into what you're asking me, it's like, yes, I have dabbled in like, you know, what's it like, I've had like therapy sessions into delving to past lives, and I've had that experience to kind of understand myself better in terms of like a different whole level of like, you know, and then also finding help, because I think at one point in time it was like really intense, my experiences. I needed to find a means to understand what was going on and everything.
It's just one journey that you've been taking.
Well, I've had this ever since I was young. So it's like, you know, I think when it becomes a situation where you can't handle or manage it effectively, it does affect your physical physical life, your experiences. And because the thing is, it's like, because if you don't know how to manage it, it can take control and over manage you.
Speaking of like take control and over manage, right, like what is the scariest thing that you have ever saw?
I don't know, everything's just kind of like jumbled together. I'm trying to think what's the scariest thing. I don't think there's any
score or experience.
Well, there's one, but it's like, it's going to be another long story. So I think I'll just give you an overall like answer. Sure. I think the scariest for me would be probably being possessed, because it's like, you know, you're not in control of what's going, like, you know, a different entity, a different personality has taken over you. So that's pretty scary, you know, to be speaking in a different voice, you know, or, you know, that's pretty scary. Because it's like you're embodying something that's not you. So, and I've had many of those experiences that I can't really like pick one that's more scary than the other. I just think the most scary for me, it's like when the spirits are so restless, that it's very negative and very heavy and very dark. Because to be honest, like if you're not able to manage it, that darkness actually creeps in and affects you in your real life and affects your behavior, your moods, your emotions, and you don't realize that it's because you have this other layer of energies on top of you.
So it's like
quite deep.
It's like losing control, but like on a whole other level.
It's like, okay, in the physical world,
if
you have toxic relationships, toxic friends, does that weigh you down? It weighs you down. Basically, it affects you, affects your personality, affects your emotions, it affects your behavior without you knowing it. So you put that on a paranormal level. That's another weight. And you might not be able to define or understand it, but it's adding weight because something's being, you're attracting something or something's clinging on to you. So
So you mentioned that you actually remember how it felt when you were possessed. Were you always like lucid? Like, were you seeing what this thing is doing?
Yeah.
So how does it feel like? Are you like above yourself, seeing yourself?
No, it's like you're inside, but you don't
you don't get the control.
Yeah, it's different now. Like as we speak now, I'm in control. But it's like when I didn't know how to, when I didn't understand it, I wasn't in control. Yeah.
Wow, that must have been really scary.
I think it's scarier for people who are in front of me,
who are or like your brother,
who are like holding the phone and like
yeah.
Oh man.
Wow. But it has never happened like in a professional setting, sorry. It's mostly like in the personal setting, like when you're off work and stuff.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Wow, that's quite scary. I've seen possessions for like I can't talk about it because it's a very personal thing and it's still going on.
Yeah.
Because you know, I'm not sure if you know, like when these kind of things, when they are going on and it's unresolved, you can't talk about it. When you talk about it, you're actually giving the entity energy, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
I was warned to not talk about it, but I always briefly mention it because when I started Ghost Maps, I was a firm non-believer. Like almost on the level of atheist.
Yep.
But that happened shortly after, like a year after when we started the podcast. And I've seen it with my bare eyes. I was like, no, this cannot be. This guy is lying to me. And I tried to fight it. And yeah, it's actually happening. And strangely enough, when this kind of thing happens, right, there will always be like a master that's nearby. I don't know if it's fated. So there was this guy who obviously has the third eye. And in Singapore, when people get possessed, right, they will trash. They will trash around, like, in general. Like, so it looks like he's drunk.
Yeah.
Right? And we told this guy, like, oh, no, he's just drunk. Like, yeah, so that the cops won't get involved. But that guy, for some weird reason, was there at the right time at 12 a.m., looked at us and said, yeah, that's not drunk.
He's not drunk.
He's not drunk. I can see what's inside him.
Yeah.
And then we're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, eventually you got settled. But that was when I started believing, like, oh my God, maybe there are certain things that we can't explain in this world. Like, really. Yeah.
Well, there's so many things that we can't explain. So
we can start another 20 podcasts to talk about that.
Or like, you know, do another spin-off.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I do like what you were saying just now about, like, even though it's, you can't explain it, but you've tried to understand it at the very least, tried to empathize with it.
Yeah. I think that's the best you can do, is try to find a connection and understanding what's going on and everything.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. So, Wayne?
Do you want to, we can lighten this up with the next question.
Next question, for sure.
Is taking a step back from, you know, this very deep conversations. Just broadly speaking, favorite horror movies, favorite horror books, favorite horror games even.
I think one of my all-time, I think it's a standout for me because I feel it having watched it at that time, it mm-hmm. gave me shivers, was Shudder from Thailand.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah. Our favorite.
One yeah,
our
Shudder. I think it's like, it was very different from what you watched and what and the stories that were told at the time. So that Shudder is always a standout for me. Mm. And I mean, like growing up, it's those stories, like, you know, The Exorcist and stuff like that, which was, I think The Exorcist is for everyone who's watched The Exorcist.
Yeah.
Would be freaked out by it. The Poltergeist series, only because of the fact that the amount of actors who passed away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just crazy. That's a whole nother level of like craziness. But I mean, like for a favorite, probably like Shudder definitely stands out for me. Books, I don't really read ghosts. It's like, for me, it's like I go like to, you know, serial killers and stuff like that. I don't know why I'm like intrigued by the psychosis or the psychological, you know, intricacies of how, what puts a person into that mind frame to want to do all that like deranged stuff. So that's like sort of, it used to be my go-to. I don't go to them anymore because I feel like it just brings me to a dark place. I'm trying to be in a much lighter place these days.
I mean, speaking of dark place, would you say that like being the quote-unquote like the one of the horror guys of Southeast Asia actually gave you a lot more darkness because you made like 104 episodes of Incredible Tales?
Well, I think like when you're telling stories that has dark and light, it's going to affect you somehow. But I mean, that's part of like, you know, being human. It's like we have dark and we have light. We just need to be able to balance it out and understand.
Exactly.
But last night I took a bus. And I shared with my friend here who was here with me, and I was really traumatized because I think I took it like it was like right before midnight from where was I, near the Esplanade going around the Katong area, and the bus in front of us, like, it drove really fast and I actually ran over a person and then it was very traumatic. Because I sat on the upper deck in the front. So
is the bus in front of you?
Yeah. As someone was like crossing. I realized how, I've always realized this ever since I lived in Singapore, how crazy drivers are generally.
And
bus drivers. It was just very traumatic to see that. And that's dark.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, and I was just really affected by it. And then plus, like, you know, I think this is like kind of leads to what you were asking about, you know, and what you guys are asking about Incredible Tales, about, you know, the darkness and the light. And it's like, I think I find myself in like in a place where it's like, I don't know, it's my own piece, but, you know, I just had to really kind of, after I eventually a light where I had to, and I had to give myself a moment and actually just kind of connect to what happened, and this kind of send like the most positive energy and light to what just happened. But
it's terrible.
That was just terrible.
It was the last night.
This is last night. This is last. And I think in some ways it's because in the past, because of the experience I have, I feel it's really easy for energies and spirits to just latch on. And then for me, it's like, it's a continued journey to be able to manage and handle and go like, it happened, I saw, I receive, and now I give, you know. I think that's my personal, you know, I give what I can.
That's very zen.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we should learn a bit about that, because ever since we started making horror content, weird things have happened.
Yeah.
Well, you invite that. I mean, like, I knew coming here, we're opening up like sort of like a portal. So
We do have listeners from the beyond, and I'm sure the Incredible Tales, they do have viewers from the beyond as well, which is quite normal actually, and not all are bad.
Yeah.
Some of them are just like, oh, we're just watching.
That actually leads me to a question I was wondering as well. Like, have you had experiences where, because you talk about like, you know, you can feel that it's a negative presence. Mm-hmm. Have you had experiences where, weirdly enough, you felt something positive from
the Yeah, well, I've had different types of experiences from like, you know, playfulness from like, you know, right. children
yeah.
being playful, overly playful, you know, tugging and, you know, and laughing. Like, it's just like humans. Like humans, there's so many different flavors of people in the physical world. You know, you have people who are, you know, just deranged, very negative, yeah. very positive, very playful, very happy, very content. I've had like, the different types of experiences.
Did you know like immediately when it was happening that, oh, this is not a negative experience? Or were you like, what's going on?
Well, I think that's where I sense energies, where it's like, if I go into a place and I can just feel that, okay, this is okay. So then you know the energies are okay. Or you go into a place where the energies are not okay. And then, I mean, like, there are places that, you know, we don't even need to kind of break down whether this is going to be negative or positive. You just know. It's like, you know, if you go to like is it the Ochangi Hospital? You just know what you're going to walk into.
You just know.
You just know. So there's no alluding to the fact that it's like, oh, you know, it's like, you just know. So a lot of times if you go into a place where, you know, it's like there's a lot of history, you just know. Okay. Or there's a lot of pain, torture. It's just there. Yeah.
Have you been to the Saton Tower?
What tower?
The Saton Tower in Bangkok.
No, I haven't been there.
That's the haunted one, the black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't been to that one.
Have you been to Old Changi Hospital?
Yeah, we've shot there before. Yeah.
Dark, right?
Yeah, it's dark.
It's really dark. Yeah. Do you know that they're going to turn it into an observatory?
Yeah, I think you mentioned that.
Yeah, to look at stars.
Well, maybe that might be good for the spirits. No, I mean,
maybe.
Maybe that would be good for them. It gives them like new energy. They can, you know, aim for the stars.
Nice.
I'm not even joking when I say this, but like maybe that change of environment kind of refreshes things a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's the government that's, you know, doing the project, I'm sure they have a way to.
Yeah, I agree with Kyle, because a way of doing it, it's like you pay respects to, you know, to the vicinity, the venue, and then you kind of bring new energies and, you know, you kind of do a send off. Yeah.
That's the thing about being a secular country in Singapore. You know, we respect all race and religion, right?
Yeah.
So I have seen firsthand like how they have managed it, which is pretty cool. When they moved the you know, the Bukit Brown Cemetery, which is one of the older cemeteries, they moved the gate, the old gates, from the original position to the new position, because they built a highway across the cemetery. They actually had the engineers to pray. So that they can move it because of the history that's there. Yeah. So moving on, we need to do a bit of fan service. Definitely, I'm asking for the fans. I'm sure they have asked. Would you consider hosting Incredible Tales again, or even any other supernatural anthology series, if given the chance?
Yes, of course. That's like a automatic yes. Yeah.
Like, how many more would you do?
I don't think I would put like a number to it, but like I'm always open to that. I feel anything that connects people. I think I shared with you guys.
Yes, please do. Yeah, please share.
I shared with you guys how when we first got in touch with each other, and then I had this random DM on Instagram. How I think she's Singaporean, and then she's working with us, with the senior citizens here, and she shared how the seniors and the aunties and uncles, they come together and they bond over telling stories, whether it's their own stories or stories that they've heard, and it creates a lot of excitement. And then she just wanted to reach out to tell me how much of this Incredible Tales has inspired the uncles and aunties to come up with their own little communities. And I brought this up with you guys. Yep. Next time I come down, it would be really awesome to maybe connect with her go meet the uncles and aunties.
Oh, wow.
And this is an extension of answering your question, like if I ever want to do it. And I think it's because of the whole fact that it brings the community together. Mm-hmm. And I always, I'm like always huge on how to bring people together and how to, you know, up. I mean, like, you might be telling these really scary stories, but then you're bringing people together.
Yeah.
So exactly. It's like, it's a feel good thing at the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, we've always talked about how, like, especially in Southeast Asia, it's horror is one of the things that really connects us across all these countries. As
yeah.
Well.
Across all the different races, the different religions, the different cultures, right?
Yeah.
It unifies us.
Yeah. I think we really started to notice that when we realized, like, some of these creatures that you see in different countries, they share similar traits.
Yeah.
So we're like, there's something there.
Like the Ba Jiao Gui share certain similarities to Miss P, whom I will not mention her name because it's at night.
Yeah.
And he also shares certain similarities to a Thai female ghost. What's the name?
Nang Tani.
Nang Tani. Yeah. Mm. So there is some cross culture, which is kind of sweet, you know, in that sense.
It's very unifying and very universal in that sense. Yeah.
Yeah. With that said, right, like you guys heard it first, if Incredible Tales is going to happen again, and please make it happen. Please make it happen. It's going to appear and all the fans will love it. And we'd definitely be the first one to watch.
Yeah.
Or it could be another extension of something like Incredible Tales.
Yeah.
It might be the first season of Dead Air on location.
On location. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe.
Never know.
Maybe. If you guys want to, you know, get up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He could even direct some of the horror shows.
I could.
Yeah, he could, right?
And then we can co-direct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could we could make it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have two last questions. Okay. One question that we always ask all our guests. What scares you the most? For us, it's really stupid.
It could be
horror guys. We are afraid of house lizards.
Yeah.
Terrified of house lizards. Like legit, I'm not even joking. I'm terrified of house lizards.
For me, it's like cockroaches.
Nice.
For me, it's cockroaches. I'm good with lizards. I love lizards. I can just pick them up and I love them. They're really cute. Cockroaches, on the other hand, I don't know. It's because their whole body moves, like their heads, and it's like, and then it's like the flying ones. Those are the ones that freak the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not good with. Yeah. I'll be jumping on the couch and the table with
look we've established that the two of us are better with cockroaches, but like you said, the flying ones, nobody's the hero when the cockroach starts flying.
Me,
no one.
I smacked one in the face.
All right, fine. Aside from Kyle, nobody's the hero when the cockroach starts flying.
Nice.
So cockroaches,
good.
To be fair, that's a good balance, you know, us with the lizards, you the cockroaches, good balance.
So what projects are you involved in now that we can check out?
Well, I'm back in doing a lot more things in front of the camera. I mean, like, there are times when, like, people are wondering what I'm doing. So it's like, in the past, past decade since I've been back in Thailand, since I left Singapore, I've been in and out of, like, producing. I've been behind the camera. So I've, like, worked with different corporate companies. I've been, like, at one point in time, I was working for a music streaming app, and I was kind of more or less replicating the MTV Channel V generation, but on the app. So I was producing, creating the shows, the countdown, the music video count, the music countdown, going and interviewing the artists, having the artists perform weekly performances, but everything was visually on the app. So I was doing that for some time, and then doing digital content for probably the equivalent of a StarHub in Singapore called True. True is a telco and a huge conglomerate in Thailand. So, like, long story short, I'm not going to bore you, but a lot of people don't know that I have corporate experience, and that when I'm kind of gone, and what's happened to us is because, you know, I'm like wearing a corporate hat. But now I'm back because I know a lot of people miss me, and I also miss being connected to people. So I'm a lot more focused on doing more events and more TV projects. I just wrapped up a TV series, which happens to be a thriller and has paranormal elements, on this platform called Viu, VIU. And the series is called Shadow. S-H-A-D-O-W, shadow. So very appropriate. Very appropriate.
Very appropriate.
Very appropriate for my return. So it's a very intense and, like, you know, it's a mystery and thriller too.
Who do you play?
I play a headmaster and all boys school, and there's a lot of things happening in the school.
Is it set in Thailand?
It's set in Thailand.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
they always have, like, the school that is, like, a little bit creepy.
Yeah.
And then everybody is, like, a bit mysterious. Yeah. And then, like,
something's not right.
Yes.
Nice, nice. I'm looking forward to it.
Very, very apt return. Yes.
Yeah, very apt return. Like, yeah.
You can actually see the trailer to it on the it's on the View Thailand Instagram. Cool. So yeah, I'll show it to you guys in a bit.
We'll drop it in the link down below. Yeah.
Yeah.
So where can we find you online?
What the art? Not the F bomb.
Yes, but I love that.
It's not the F bomb. It's like, it's what the art. That's my handle. On YouTube, it's at Utsada, UTTSADA. On TikTok, I forgot. I think it's my full name. So, yeah.
The one with the blue tick.
Yeah. That should probably be.
That should be.
All right.
I'm also doing, just to wrap it up, I started, like, doing a vlog interviewing people. But nice. It's like, it's very raw. It's like, compared to your setup, it's like super raw. But you can find that on my Instagram and on YouTube as well.
What was it about?
Well, I just wanted to have real conversations because I think people are so used to seeing me with big productions, and I just wanted to take it a notch back and just be real. So it's like, you know, it's like me connecting with anyone I find interesting, or just like with people I've worked with. Like, for example, I have had, like, a session with, like, Sebastian Sim, with Ross, Mike Kasem, just talking about how, like, MTV last year came to MTV Asia came to its final run. Or it's just like connecting with familiar faces or colleagues I've worked with, or just people that I find that kind of speaks to the generation. I mean, in Thailand, I talked to this content creator who was talking about, I think I also talked to one here in Singapore too about the mental, how, like, COVID and everything has affected people mentally. So being aware of how this can affect you. So, you know, just different topics.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thanks. You guys.
Yeah. Maybe the next time you come on our show is a new season of Incredible Tales or another horror show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We will host. You want to do like your sign off.
The sign off. Okay.
you just have to give it to the fans. They are waiting for it. Okay.
I can't do it with a straight face.
Okay, we'll try.
Okay, we'll try.
This has been Dead Air.
Nice.
I don't know how we can do our own sign off after that.
Yeah, we can't top that. We'll try. All right. Let's go, Wayne.
So now I'm going to do, like, my own little...
Yeah.
So new episodes of Ghost Maps go online every second and fourth Thursday of the month on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and all major platforms. New episodes of Dead Air go online every 13th of the month
from
YouTube.
From today.
To make sure you never miss an episode of either, subscribe now and follow us on social media at We Are Hantu. That's one word, WEAREHANTU. If you would like to share your own stories that could inspire future episodes of Ghost Maps, you can reach us through the contact form on hantu.sg or message us directly through Facebook and Instagram. You can also be one of our supporters on Patreon at patreon.com/WeAreHantu. 1, 2, 3. And remember, just because they're stories... It doesn't mean they're not true.
All right. Good night, everyone. Thank
good
you.
Night, guys.
Good night. Bye,
guys.
If you want to stay up to date on Hantu and listen to our other podcasts like Ghost Maps, subscribe now and follow us on social media. You can also be one of our supporters on Patreon. Look for We Are Hantu or click the links in the description. Dead Air is a Hantu production, hosted by Kaya Ong and Wayne Ray, with album art by Jolene Lim, and recorded on Audio Technica mics.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.